So the next speaker is Pierre Colli. He works in the ANSSI lab, the National Agency for the Security of IT Systems, working in intrusion detection, particularly in the implication of automatic learning models. And here he's going to talk about his work, which is entitled Feature Engineering for Detection Systems.
Bonjour.
I'm going to be talking about auto features, way of generating automatic detection systems. It's been working. I've been working with Anaël Bognon in the ANSI Exploratory Lab, machine learning for detection systems. When we're defining a system of detection, it's a set of rules that will allow us to lift warnings signals depending on a certain amount of parameters. For instance, we have a PE file that we want to classify depending on certain parameters that may be benign or bad or undesirable. So in addition to everything that has to be done, we have to set up rules. If we change input data, if we change the class of PEs, it won't be the same detection rules as if we're... and if the target changes, then there'll also be a change. The detection rules will change also. An exit point, whether it's... depending on whether it's malware or not, which family of malware it belongs to, machine learning for detection systems sets up rules that are detection targets. If we show it lots of PE files, which are so, with raw data coming in, it's tables of number values or category values, and these values represent characteristics and properties that we want to classify. For instance, a simple example, if we want to classify apples according to their different variety, color, size, weight, sugar content can help us to classify the data. So we're going to define, there's an expert is going to create a certain abstraction of attributes, giving us raw data input to discriminate number of seeds, weight, and color of the skin. The same way for a PE file, look at the number of section and the different parameters and classify it in that way. That form of attribute extraction is very costly. And in the same way, we need it requires knowledge, and the methods for attribute extraction can change depending on the entrance data and the detection target. So we have machine learning, but a lot of work to be carried out, manual work to be carried out by experts upstream. And so we've just pushed the problem further back, and there a lot of work remains to be carried out. So machine learning algorithms, there's lots of them. From some of them are more complex than others. So they can be granted, they can be delegated, more work can be delegated to them, or they can be granted more freedom in terms of improving their accuracy. What is mechanic is more they have freedom, more their internal representation of the problem is not that of an expert, and therefore far from the comprehension of a human being, for instance. So what we're going to be doing is talking about the interpretability of the model. So we put together a detection system. The model must be interpretable. For let's say the model works well, and one day there's a whole lot of warnings, alerts are brought up, we need to examine why. Otherwise, it's of no use whatsoever and must be discarded. In order to put together the work of detection system is utopian. Experts have levels of knowledge that we need to call on. So we're blocked We continue to have to do this feature engineering, and it's a very costly step. So we are trying to lower the cost of creating this method of detection analysis, extraction, I mean. Auto-features. So the idea, the basis of auto-features is what can I generate for features that are generated in a database. In a detection system, there's not just rules, there's also parsers who are going to transform raw data into structured data. Parsers already contain domain knowledge. For instance, the entities, the structures and fields of in a PE is going to see the different types of values, categorical values in a file, strings in a file, that kind of thing, for instance. And something that's very important, it will understand the different relationships between the files and the entities. A PE file has only one PE header, but has potentially many sections. So based on the structured data, it's quite easy to convert this representation, this structured representation, and extract it in a relationship diagram. I think those of you who have worked on databases understand some of this. It's a definition to analyze a network. What you see here is just a bit of focus here. You have IPs with which other IPs communicate through flows, and in these flows you can have several packets. What we want to do is create features for each of the IPs to find out if there's anything abnormal happening. IPs are in the table, the red frame. The types of relationships are represented by the arrows. Relationship one-to-one, which means that we can add in metadata, the country of the IP address, that kind of thing. The goal is to, based on this diagram, entity relationship diagram, is to extract a whole lot of numerical values. How is this done? Four stages. We're going to collect the right data, potentially filter it, then aggregated into a list, a scalar list, and then we're going to encode it to have a numeric value. So here you have a training path that helps us go get the data in the entity relationship diagram. We have the pathway T root that applies to the IP address earlier, that follows through to the table T1, to the target TI, which contains the C type. Here you have an example from the IP table to the flow type table, looking for the numbytes line. So there you have the size of all of the packets for each of the IPs. So what we can do is take a subset of this data. If you only want packets that are involved in a certain UDP communication, so you can define a categorical column like this one. This data is then presented as a list. We want to transform it into a scalar data list. There's several means of doing this. There's a little list, depending on the type of data that is validated, numeric, min, max, Boolean, and or example. For if you apply the mean value from what the analysis of earlier, you have the average size of the packets. Small aside, you can include aggregations one into the other. It can be more or less interpretable. For the time being, it's okay, but it does allow us to do more complex things whilst remaining interpretable. So here we have the average number of packets by flow. We have a count of each packet, and we group them together by flow's ID, and then we have an overall average. in terms of encoding. If you have a numeric data, the sum of the flow, the total of the flows, it gives you a numeric value. If you have a Boolean data, you're going to encode, did IP use the DP protocol or not? Everything will be encoded in 1 or 0. If you have a feature, categorical feature, I think it's called 1 VS all, three values, TCP, UDP, ICMP, three features, binary features, is the value, is TCP, is UDP, is ICMP. Everything will be at 0, except for the one that is 1, it's IS UDP. It's a UDP protocol. That's how you build a feature. What's interesting is that an expert can inject this data. The first way of doing this is to, by pre-processing, it's just adding in columns beside the other existing columns. For instance, you can calculate ratios, which might be more interesting than a mean value. Then you can make strings are very difficult to interpret, but you can transform them into a number by building it into a feature. You can count the number of spaces, building the entropy, the number of capital characters. Another thing that's very important, transforming not difficult to exploit values helps us to create other filters. You have another example here where text stamp has been transformed into something else. It will allow us to go look for packets that are only out of our office. There's a system of black and white listing that allows us to firstly take out columns that may be biased. For instance, here we aren't in the pattern, the diagram of earlier. I didn't have any examples, but if, for example, we are studying processes, the sum of the PIDs of processes is meaningless. So you can blacklist that. An expert can blacklist that because he's the only one who knows it, that he's the only one who knows it's biased. Something else that can be done, you can feature overly complex, you can take out overly complex features. It's not very, things that are not very interpretable. And lastly, you can whitelist things, like the expert can choose to select, I want to explore such and such a specific region of the featured space. There's a mistake here, it's not sections that should be here. Only features that were in the info table shown earlier, for instance. What we decided to use an example is, we said to ourselves, if we take a set of public data and that we inject into it knowledge taken from available literature, what can we obtain as a feature? The number of generated features is too long. I can't list them all, but I can show you a few of them in a minute. As a data set, Ember, with static analysis of PE files, a lot of PE files, containing a lot of information, already features that have already been created by extracted by the LIF project. The ERD that we did, that to match the data set, it's separated in two parts. There's all the data that are metadata, that are in a one-one relationship with the PE file. These are our EPE files. These are what we want to create features for. And all of these are things that have already been created by the authors of the data set. For the strings, for instance, you're going to have the number of strings, the average size, the number of MZs found in the PE. And then on the right, you have all the N relationships, three tables. The first is all the exports, all the imports, and then all the sections. And all of these are in N relationship with each other, so there can be several per PE file. For the pre-processing side of things, we've taken a publication from Zachary et al. Giving a list of 16 API suspicious API calls, analyzing in the malicious malwares with a Windows system. We use this system to determine the textual value, a string value that was unexploitable. Second example, we created two further columns, one which will give us the answer to, is the symbol of export a syscall Windows, or is it rather the runtime library routine, part of the runtime library routine? What's interesting with this is that it can, it's a feature that continue that contains export, a PE that contains exports like this has a tendency to be fairly innocuous. And finally, for the export table, we gave standard section names, fairly well known, in order to be able to exploit them rather than using textual data directly. Finally, the properties are in textual format, so we were able to create chains. These are not the only two flags that exist, but the two flags is the section executable or not. Here is a list of examples of features that have been generated. Don't know if I have enough time. Gonna look at one or two of them. In third line and fourth line, you have what has been discretisé. What it means is that in three, is the PE imports from address, for the get proc address, or the and in fourth place, load library. We can then combine the different attributes. For the fifth line, what it tells us is all of the exports of the PE are syscall Windows, Windows syscalls. That tells us it's innocuous, for instance. As for the sections, it's going to calculate the mean entropy of the executable system sections, or the maximum entropy of the executable systems. So as a conclusion, what a feature is a generation method designed to meet automatic feature generation method designed to meet computer security experts' needs, lowers the cost of feature engineering, of generation of attributes and features, of features, whilst generating features that are interpretable by gathering expert knowledge data. For the next step, what we'd like to do is experiment with more data sets, and this feature space that has been generated, it has a combinatory aspect, is huge, and we could explore this space in a lot of different ways, and this is a different approach that is very interesting that we're hoping to pursue in the future. Thank you. Do you have any questions? No questions. As for this feature space that is so big, do you have some ideas as to how to explore it? Yes, well, currently what we are doing is that we take features that are as simple as possible, and then more complex ones. Those who have the fewest aggregations, those have the fewest filters. Lots of filters added make features that look like overfitting of the algorithms. And it's better to look at the features that aren't too complex. But then later on, you could imagine methods where you go into a region, collect data, see if there's anything interesting there, and can it be fine-tuned by changing some of the parameters, for instance, by adding a filter here or there. Last thing, we can, of course, try to do this by considering the different labels, taking account of the different labels of the data set, training data set. There is a question here. Thank you for your presentation. I wanted to know, is there any deep learning algorithms that can calculate? I missed what he said then. Using a deep learning algorithm instead of the tool that we're proposing, is that what you're saying? Yes, that's right. No, I have not tested that. How to guide it? That's the question. In the case I described, something is predictable. We know what it's going to generate. It will be something that can be understandable, interpretable. We need to maybe add accuracy as to what a deep learning algorithm is doing. What should it generate? Because if we just ask for a feature, it's too broad and general. It could give us anything. It maybe needs something, maybe not necessarily too relevant, but for instance, we can say with this data set, by validating ahead of time, it can calculate filature or signature. I missed. If we calculate the algorithm ahead of time, can we not then feed that in and it produce its own features? Do you mean the most important features? We know that there are deep learning algorithms that can do this kind of thing, isn't there? Am I not correct? Deep learning takes away the stage of feature engineering. It decreases the time required. For instance, for data about signals and images, what we do generally is give the mean data, input the mean data, is going to load up with what it's going to do is map that in a discrete reader, and then it's going to work it all out internally. We cannot interpret that. I know people are working on it, but we cannot easily interpret that. A prediction that will come out of that will be generated. If someday a whole lot of alerts start being flagged up, what are we going to do? We won't be able to know for sure certain why these alerts have been flagged up. And that is a problem for experts. That's internally something that has already been examined and is a problem. Thank you. Is there another question over there? One last one. Hello. Thank you for this presentation. You've talked about Amber dataset. You talked about new features. Have you compared with LGBM? They are proposing an AMBER detection algorithm. What they've done is they've trained an algorithm without taking too much care over it, just to show that there's data. I'm not criticizing what they did, just to show that there is information inside it. And it works. What they've done in the first part, they treat all those tables that I showed you. Maybe it's a bit further in my presentation. Here it is. To treat those tables here, which are in n relationship with each other, what they do is they use feature hashing. So they're going to map the values in tables. It's like a hash. Just putting values into a finite domain, and to interpret that, it's going to be difficult. It prevents the interpretation, subsequent interpretation. So the values are mapped, okay, into other values, and it doesn't represent anything concrete anymore. And the size of the tables are like 2048. What I'm saying, no, maybe I wasn't clear. They have a malware detection algorithm that they use on these features. They have these features, and they use a malware detection algorithm on that. And what would be interesting is to use the same algorithm on your features, MGBM. Okay. Would have been interested to compare. That's behind us. Once the features have generated, you can give them to any algorithm, including theirs. Yes, indeed, you're right. So I'd like to prolong this debate. This is interesting. This is exactly what we want, exchange and debate following the presentation. We're held by the constraints of demonstration. Thank you.